Let's open our Bibles just for a few minutes to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll just look down at verse number 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith and without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now that's all we'll read, and we trust God will bless a few thoughts. I'm not certainly going to cover all that's in these wonderful verses here in this chapter, but there's just really one thing I'd like to look at as a word of encouragement to all the believers, and we're going to see it from this portion that we've read. I guess it's about 10 years ago now, or maybe even more, we became regular attenders at IKEA. Okay? Our children started going off to university. And, throw away furniture, good for one semester or maybe two if you're lucky. And, we would sit at home and they would go through the catalog and they were looking at all the things that they needed. And they look wonderful. And then you would get there and you would see them on display and they almost looked as good as they did in the catalog. And then you wrote down the number where it was found and you went downstairs and all you saw was these two or three big long boxes that took three men and a horse to carry. And we would lug them into the car and we would take them to wherever they were staying and, we would get them in and throw them on the floor and we found out for them to be of any practical use that assembly was required. We've been hearing today about the things when it comes to a local assembly. And they are all on display in this book. They are there, and they look beautiful in the book. But the only way we will benefit from them is if we assemble with the believers. For a New Testament church to function properly, assembly is required. And your attendance is required. I just got a few simple points that I just want to look out here just to encourage us as to why you need to get to all the assembly meetings. We have read here, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we've had three types of salads here, three lettuces that we've read about here in chapter 10. The first one we see there, it's a lettuce that's in regards to God. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And so here, this first command at the end of this chapter, it has to do with our responsibility towards God to draw near in full assurance of faith. The second one was in verse 23. And now it's not so much in relation to God, but it's in relation to ourselves. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our hope or our faith without wavering." And so here is this hope that we have, this confidence, this joy, as we were hearing yesterday, as the writer has brought us to the point that all the things that we have in Christ are so much better than what they had in the old economy. But then when we come to the third one, and that's the one I want to look at just for a few minutes here, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke." You know, a lot of believers end there for some reason. It's to provoke to love. We're good at provoking, but sometimes we're not so good at provoking to love. But in this provocation to love and to good works, it's interesting that in that context, he is going to say, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so in our consideration of other believers, in our provoking other believers to love, it revolves around assembling, revolves around faithful attendance at the assembly meetings. And that's the history of the church. Acts chapter 2, there on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 assembled together. And there they received the blessing of being at the baptism of the Spirit when the actual baptism of the Spirit took place as he came down upon that group that was in the upper room. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, we read there, were saved and baptized. And it goes on to say that they continued, they devoted themselves to the doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And it says, God saved. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And so the word of God, the purposes of God, is that every single believer that is saved by the grace of God be attached to a local New Testament assembly. And it's for health reasons. We're going to see that in a minute. You know, it speaks, as we were reading yesterday, was it in Acts chapter 20, as Paul describes that assembly at Ephesus as a little flock. And as sheep, we need one another. You don't see a sheep off by itself. If you do, it's not going to survive very long. Sheep are congregational animals. And so there's the need to assemble together. And so this is just what I want to think of just for a few minutes here, this assembling together. You know, in my traveling around, and I get to travel around a little bit more maybe than some here, not everyone here, that's for sure. But, you know, as we travel around, we usually see two types of Christians, okay? We go some places, and there are believers that you can count on to be there for every single meeting, whether it is the Bible reading, whether it is the prayer meeting, whether it is the a ministry meeting, just every meeting, they are there, they are present and accounted for. And then there's other believers there, and we all have them in our own different assemblies, and you're lucky if they maybe show up Sunday morning. You know, SMOs, and now, of course, we add an S because they're SMO sometimes, and they're not even faithful at coming just Son, they don't participate in any of the assembly meetings. They're not there for the Bible readings. They're just there. They take up a place on Sunday mornings. So why do some believers attend all the meetings of the assembly, support all the meetings of the assemblies, and why are there some that don't? Does it really make a difference as to how many assembly meetings that you attend? Well, I'm going to tell you right now that it makes a big difference. It makes a difference as far as you as an individual in relation to your spiritual life, and it also makes a difference as far as the spiritual tenor of the local assembly in which you are found. Just you being there it helps that assembly, encourages that assembly. So I just got a couple points here, so we leave lots of time for someone else, as to why we need to attend every meeting. Well, the first thing we should understand is that it fulfills the command of God. You see, this isn't just an optional thing. We are to be there. We are to be found in the local assembly. We read it right here, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And see what was happening. These that were forsaking it, the thought there is they were abandoning it. It wasn't just that they were missing one or two, but they had come to a point now where they were actually abandoning the coming together of the assembly. And I know this, that it didn't happen overnight. They just didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm not going anymore. Maybe sometimes it might, but that's not the norm. It would start with maybe just missing a Bible reading perhaps, and then maybe missing the prayer meeting. And then maybe after a while, just hitting every second or third Lord's Day remembrance and something that was gradual and what became just a once in a while thing. It had come to the point where they were actually abandoning. They had abandoned the local assembly. And so he says the way that we can be preserved from that is being at the assembly meetings, attending all the assembly meetings in fulfillment of the command of God. And he tells us here that this command is not only because it is good for you, but it is good for the other believers. It is that which we do in consideration, considering one another, provoking them to love, provoking them in love and to good works. And by us being there, by us attending, we are encouraging others in their attendance. So can I be encouraging somebody if I'm not there? Can I be building up someone in their Christian faith if I'm there so infrequently that I don't even know what's going on? We're amazed sometimes. We run into folks that are supposedly in the assembly, and you're speaking about something that's common knowledge, maybe the illness of someone or something someone's going through, and they have no idea. And the reason is they're not out to the assembly meetings to find out these things that are going on. And so we need to be there. Not just because the preachers say so, not just because the elders say so, but because it is a direct command from the Word of God. And so it fulfills the command of God. Not only that, in fulfilling the command of God, remember the words of the Lord Jesus? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, what things was he talking about? Well, it's very practical things. He was talking about food and raiment and shelter. And he says, by putting Christ first, by putting the kingdom of God first, he says, these things will be provided. And if we have our priorities straight, then the assembly meetings will be the thing that has priority in our life. I can remember growing up, my father was not in the assembly. He was for a very few years when he was first saved, but he lived the rest of his days not in an assembly, away from the Lord a lot of that time. And yet, he supported my mother in getting four boys. Maybe he just wanted free time, I'm not sure. But in getting us four boys and helping her to get us out to the meetings. And there was nothing that we could approach him with that we would have to do or need to go to that if it interfered with an assembly meeting that we would ever have a hope of him agreeing. No, you got to go to meeting first. And that was our attitude, that it was the meeting first, and then if there was time left, we could do others. Now the mindset, sad to say, of many believers is that if I've got nothing else to do, perhaps I will go to an assembly meeting. Listen, he says, seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We were hearing yesterday about priorities. And we've known many people who have, they've been looking at a job somewhere which would have gotten them a good raise and better hours, and yet because there was no local assembly there, there was no testimony to the name of the Lord, they said no, and it wasn't too long after the Lord blessed them where they were because of what they stayed. I think of a man right now down in Costa Rica where my son is, in the little assembly there at San Juan de Dios, and he is a leading authority on toxicology in Central America. He teaches at the university there, and for his job in that country at least, he does not need a doctorate, so he's not a PhD, and yet the university has been exerting pressure on him. They want him to get a doctorate. They're willing to pay for him to go out to Germany or to Canada, and they would pay for him to be there for 4 years that he might earn his doctorate. And he's told him, no, I'm not going, because he says there's a little group of believers that I'm associated with, and he says, I can't be away from them for that long. And so here is a man, he's putting first the kingdom of God. He's putting the assembly first, and the Lord has blessed him. And so it is a command. We need to be at the assembly because it is a command of God. But not only is it a command of God, being at the local assembly will help you grow and mature as a believer. Now, that's what the assembly is all about. The assembly is a place not just where we come together to remember the Lord, but it is a place for spiritual growth. It is a place where we are nurtured, where we're nurtured in our faith, and we're brought into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. The very meetings of the assembly, the meetings that are listed in the Word of God, whether it is the teaching meetings or the missionary meetings or the Bible readings or the gospel meetings, all these meetings add to our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity. And so we grow and develop spiritually by attending the meetings. You see, our growth is dependent. It is dependent upon our diet. And by going to the assembly meetings, we are fed from the Word of God, fed by good teachers that are amongst us, so that we can grow in our holy faith. And so it is a place where we mature and grow as believers. But not only does it fulfill the command of God and help us grow spiritually, but you being there helps the assembly function properly. We were speaking with someone asking how many believers were in a certain assembly in fellowship, and we said a certain number. I said, this is how many would be on the register, but you have those 20 or 25 that actually show up for everything, ones that you can count on. And they're the ones that when they're not there, boy, you really miss them, because they need to be there to help the assembly. Do you realize that being part of an assembly is not just taking up a chair? Mr. Dreiber, I think the theological term he used to have for it, he said, any dummy can fill a chair. So it doesn't take much to fill a chair. But when you come into an assembly, you're just not filling a chair. You are becoming part of a fellowship. You have responsibilities. You have privileges in that assembly. And so by being part of that assembly, by not being there, that assembly can't function as it ought to function. And so you need to be there to help the assembly function properly. I just think I've never been to California. And I've seen redwood trees, pictures of redwood trees. And they say you never see a redwood tree standing by itself. Even though they can grow to over 350 feet high. That's a pretty big tree. 350 feet high. And the root network only goes down 5 to 6 feet. So that's a lot of pressure on those roots. But the reason they're able to stand is that although they can be that high, and some of them are over 2,500 years old, that root network that's only 5 or 6 feet, it extends probably 100 feet out from the tree. And it intertwines between the root networks of all the other trees. And so those trees hold each other up. And so when the wind comes, when the storm blows, those trees that are so high, yet the roots are so shallow, they are able to stand because of the intertwining of that root network. That's why you need to be at the assembly. Being part of that assembly, you help that assembly function. You help that assembly stand in the face of adversity that is blowing all around. And so the local assembly, you need to be there to help that assembly function properly. You also need to be there because you're an example. As parents, do our children see in us that the assembly has a priority? That it's the assembly first and everything else second? We know many people today, and they lament, they speak with us, and they lament that their children are no longer in an assembly, and they have no desire, and they're off, and they say, what's wrong? And many of those dear folks, we can look back to when their children were of age that they had authority over them, that they never made an effort to get those kids out on their own. They never took them to conferences. They never brought them to all the assembly meetings to be there. And now, because of that, they have no desire to be with or in a local assembly of God. So your attendance is an example. Do you realize that, dear believer? that when people come in and see your chair missing, that you are having effect upon the other believers. You are saddening them sometimes, and you are maybe discouraging them many times. And just the other way, you know, it's so wonderful when you go to a local assembly and you know for sure somebody is going to be there. You know their chair is going to be full. I was with Brian Owen in St. Lucie a number of years ago, up a little assembly up in Ladig, up in the mountains, and it was pretty sad, the number of believers and how late they came in. But when we would get there, there would always be this one older lady who walked down from higher up in the hills, probably walked about 3 miles, and she would be there before anybody else. And she was sitting on the steps waiting for someone to come to open the door. And she said, I was just sitting there. She says, if nobody came, she says, well, I have no control of that, but I was just sitting here thinking that the Lord is going to be here too. And she had that desire, and it encouraged us. We were walking and we were getting pretty hot and sweaty there coming, and yet here was that sister, and it made it worth it because she had such a desire. And it was an encouragement to us. And so you being there, it encourages, and it's a testimony as well to the world. They see you going on a regular basis to the assembly meetings, and they have an understanding that, you know, there's something important as far as what they are doing, because they're going all the time, and many times that in itself can open up a time or a place to come to converse with these people, and they say, what are you doing? Where are you going? And you're able to tell them about the local assembly and about what you're going to do at that particular time. And so by being there, you are encouraging and you are being an example to others. But not only are you being an example to others, in the context here, I know it's not to do with the coming of the Lord here, but it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And in the context here, it would seem it was in view of AD 70, when Titus was going to come and he was going to go through Jerusalem and destroy the temple. But for us today, as we are anticipating the coming of the Lord, by coming together, by being with God's people, meeting in the local assembly, assembling ourselves together. It is a place where we live in the prospect of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. That's what we did even this morning. We didn't even have ministry this morning as far as the coming of the Lord, and yet coming together this morning, it was on display that he's coming again. The emblems. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. And so just by coming to remember the Lord, we are reminded that there is a brighter day that is coming. The Lord himself is coming. But not only that, as we come together, and as the ministry of the Word of God, many times it will take us to that blessed truth. It will help us live in the expectation, understanding that this world is not our home, and that we're not to get our tent pegs down into the ground too deep here, because there's a far brighter day coming when the Lord himself is going to come. And by coming together, by assembling together, we are reminded of that blessed fact, that we are coming together with a heavenly people, with a people whose citizenship is in heaven. We're just sojourners and strangers here for a while, and in a moment of time, we're going to be caught up. And that encouragement, that anticipation, that understanding comes from being together with God's dear people. I had a couple more here, but I want to get to the most important one. Why should I be at the meetings? The Bible readings, the ministry meetings, the gospel meetings, the Sunday school, breaking of bread. Why would I be there? Well, I'd be glad to see you, brother or sister, that's for sure. But you know why I want to be there? Because he is there. And that's what makes all the difference. That's what helps us to see past all the flaws and warts that every one of us have, is that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And he is here. Just like God was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Just like his presence was in the temple in the days of Solomon. Just like he is today in a local New Testament assembly. When I don't come, yes, it will have an effect upon the company. But when I don't come, the Lord who is there, he knows I'm not there. He knows the reason I'm not there. And so the writer here says, provoke one another to good works and to love, not forsaking, not abandoning the assembling of yourselves together. Is the manner of some? Yes, there are some that are doing it. But might we be found with those that understand assembly is required for it to function as God has ordained it, as the Word of God has laid it out. Assembly is required, and we need to be at the assembly meetings.